Welcome back to the Heavily Meditated Podcast. Today, I have my good friend Scott on. We're going to talk about a couple of different things. Some of this stuff could be kind of difficult to listen to, but not in a bad way. It's just a different way of thinking about things. And we talk a lot about this kind of stuff. So I just figured it would be good to have him on. It's an interesting take on life and an interesting way to think about a lot of different things. So, hi, Scotty. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. People who don't know me, I normally live in California, and I took a trip out to the Midwest, and I thought this would be awesome. We've talked about me being on here before, and so what better time than when I'm actually here face-to-face?
Yeah, I know. It's a lot better in person. I mean, you can do it over the phone, but...
Yeah, now I don't sound like I'm a robot or anything.
Right? Yeah. Phoning into a radio show?
Yeah.
Tell us... Okay, so first... Just introduce yourself. Like, tell me a little bit about you.
Yeah. So, it's interesting because I live in a different world, meaning like I do motorsports. So I moved from here. So I'm from Wisconsin originally, and I moved to California in 2015 with no other reason than I felt like there was more for me in life. And I really wanted to take full control of everything and kind of live my life the way that I thought was best. I'm big into motorsports. I like drifting and I like motorcycles, and we've ridden here before and everything. But so I moved out there in 2015 and kind of worked my way up in the drifting community now. I started a business when I was here and doing motorcycle headlights, and then I stopped that to pursue a business in making motorsports parts, so like drift parts for Mustangs and things like that. And now I spot on a professional drifting team, had a few different like engineering careers so far. But the main thing is like I'm just pretty involved with motorsports and drifting. And it's actually the reason I'm out here is because I just came from Erie, Pennsylvania, where the last round of Formula Drift was. So... my main focus is like going fast and doing dumb stuff in vehicles, and, but the psychology and things like that has been like something that's a passion project for me always, and we've talked a lot about those kinds of things. So I really, you know, I've listened to a few of these podcasts and was like, man, I'd like to share my thoughts on things. And
yeah, I'm excited to have you on because we've been like refocusing ourselves on the podcast, and this kind of goes along with that, like having a purpose and having like more direction on what we're talking about. And I think that some of our experiences have been similar too, that have kind of brought us to where we are and how we deal with things. So that kind of goes with, you know, like I feel like I send you stuff all the time where I'm like, but maybe this, and you're like, maybe. So it's cool to actually put it out, you know, on paper, quote unquote, and kind of talk through some of it. So, something that like we like to focus on a lot is growth and dealing with change and dealing with hardship. A lot of people have troubles with kind of how they deal with things and how they process things. And something that I found when I was kind of trying to research, because, you know, talking to people, you talk to a lot of different people, and I haven't really found a lot of people that think the way that I think or the way that you think.
Yeah.
So in that is where I found the PTG, the post-traumatic growth.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'll just put like the definition in it or whatever. It's the greater sense of personal strength, increased, like these are like some of the things from it, increased exploration questions, like on death or purpose, increased value placed on small things, changes in spiritual and religious areas of life, improved relationships, new possibilities for life, greater appreciation for life. Basically, it's when you take positive psychological change experience as a result of adversity and other challenges in order to raise a higher level of function.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, this for the basis of this, you know, we've both dealt with the loss of a parent at a young age. I lost my mom at 18. Mm-hmm. She had brain cancer for, it was a, you know, 18 months. So it was a bumpy road for that. But, you know, not just the loss of a parent, but it was my guidance, my motivator, you know, the mm-hmm. person in my life that I went to the most. And so, in dealing with that loss, and obviously dealing with the loss of your dad, who you were, you know, very close to, and yeah. he kind of guided you in a lot of stuff. I think that's where we, you know, kind of have similarities in dealing with something like that. And I think it's a very interesting topic because it's a very definitive fork in the road. I mean, I think that everybody has something traumatic that happens to them, and it's ongoing, right? Like, we'll always have the loss of a job, or like loss of a significant other, or the loss of a family member, or mm-hmm. even just miscommunications with friends and things like that, losing friends, like longtime friends. And so I think that we all deal with these difficulties in our lives, and I think that is, like, it like I said, it's a very definitive fork in the road where you can either look at that scenario and be like, yeah, that sucked, but that doesn't mean the rest of my life has to suck.
Mm-hmm.
Or what I've seen, and this is kind of why I wanted to talk about it, is people take a perspective of like, well, now that's my burden to bear.
Or this is what defines me.
Yeah, it's like the thorn in my side, and any time that something comes up, you know, it's like, you know, like, I'll use like a lighthearted example is like, your mom jokes are a funny thing that people do, and somebody will like say your mom joke, and if they catch themselves and realize that they're saying it to me, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, no, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It doesn't bother me. I'm not gonna, like, whereas there, I've seen people like take that offensive, or they're like, how dare you? Like, my mom's dead. Like,
Right, right.
And so that's what I definitely have seen both sides of that, and talked to many people through this. And that's, you know, where I get my sense of motivational speaking towards the people. You know, and it's funny because I just post motorsports stuff, but the people that follow me, or the people that know me, kind of like see that secondary thing in motivational speaking. And that's kind of the foundation that I've built on, is like, I've not dealt with the worst thing in life. There's always somebody who's got something worse, and mm-hmm. I'm not a person living in the woods of somewhere and homeless, whatever, but all of our traumas are our own to bear. And, I don't let mine create like a negative light on the rest of my life. And I think that's where we've connected on this. When you sent me the information on post-traumatic growth before, I was like, yeah, that is it. Like, and when people are like, oh, like, I think that you've asked me, or somebody asked me before, if you could have your mom back, would you? And I've said, no, I wouldn't. Because I would still be a little shit. Like, I would still be a person who just, like, you know, shoots first and asks questions later. And
yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have that. And so I'm, you know, like, would I like to have that guidance there? Yeah. But I feel like it's created a growth in me that I'm very thankful for, and it shows up in a lot of different things. And I think that's the reason that I, you know, that we discussed talking about this, is that mm-hmm. it is like a key to unlock, rather than, you know, it is a hard thing to talk about, but I think it is a good thing because it should show people that, like, when you engage in those situations and you do come out of them with growth, like, it's so much better. You feel so much better.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, at least, part of it comes from, like I don't like uncomfortable feelings. Like, I don't like conflict. I don't like sadness. Like, but who does, right? So mm-hmm. my thing is I'm always like, okay, well, I'm going to sit and I'm going to think about this, and I'm going to completely work through it. And, you know, obviously sometimes it's a process, like, it's ongoing, but I'm gonna make it so that, like, I'm not like feeling this anymore, and I'm gonna turn it into something positive, because those are the things that make me happy. So if I'm just sitting and I'm wallowing, or I'm using something as an excuse for not getting what I want, I'm still not going to be happy, but I'm also wallowing in it as it's happening.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like, we've talked about, I actually, you know, made this saying a few weeks ago or whatever, and we've like, I shared it with you, and mm-hmm. the empathy for excuses does not equate to victory saying to me is like part of this, because I think in that, in choosing to have a burden off something that was traumatic for you does lend to somebody like creating that excuse. Like,
yeah.
Well, I was, you know, I love this example and I've used it since I was younger, but like, well, I had a bag of M&Ms once and there was a gross green one and now I'm like deathly afraid of green M&Ms or green candies. And it's like, how silly is that to like limit yourself for the rest of your life because of one experience?
Right.
Instead of using that to be like, well, now I'm going to maybe find a way to filter out my candy a little bit more. Or
right.
That was a really good sign that eating candy was unhealthy for me and now like I don't even need that. Or even the top level of that, which is I feel good that I got over that. Mm-hmm. And that has given me the self-confidence to realize that I can still experience things and have, you know, like a little bit of a hiccup happen, mm-hmm. and still go through them fine. And it even snowballs into, well, if I can deal with this, then I can handle any other situation where it's an unknown.
Mm-hmm. Well, and once you do something that's scary to you or makes you feel uncomfortable, then, and it turns out to be fine, that's when you're like, okay, I did this. I can do anything that feels uncomfortable and it's going to be fine. Things are going to be fine either way. I mean, even if it doesn't work out, it's still fine.
Yeah. Well, it's just learning, you know, like you just, no matter what, like when people have always raised that point to me, like, well, how do you know? Like, how, like I'm too scared to do something. I'm like, well, no matter what, you're going to come out ahead. Like, even if you say, we're like, oh, I'm going to move across the country. Like, mm-hmm. oh, that's so scary. Like, what if I don't get a job? Or what if it's hard? Like, okay, it might be. It very well could be. But at the end of it, you're still going to come out of it with knowledge and experience and things that will challenge you to better yourself. And I mm-hmm. think, I mean, that's the way I've always seen it, is like life is inherently about challenging yourself. And with, I mean, to relate it to the post-traumatic growth thing, like that's like post-traumatic growth is like a challenge that you didn't choose, but it's still challenging you. Mm-hmm. And overcoming that, I always like to relate it to, it's like a video game. Like if you played a video game and it was so easy that you just got done in 5 minutes and you just like walked from the start to the end of the game.
Right.
You'd be like, man, that was a really crappy video game. Like that was such a bad video game. There was nothing exciting about that. But when you play one that's hard and like maybe you die in it and then you have to like go back and keep trying.
Figuring it out, and finally you get through and you're like, fuck yeah, I did that.
Yeah. You're like, dude, that game was so crazy. It was so hard. Like, but it was so much fun. And that's the way that I view it, is like your life wouldn't be exciting or it wouldn't be fulfilling if you weren't facing like those challenges, and trauma in your life is just part of that. Mm-hmm. You'll never be able to avoid it. Like either way, like somebody's always going to leave. There's always going to be something traumatic that mm-hmm. happens. And so instead of fearing it and dreading it.
I think that things are just always changing, and you have to remember, like, nothing is permanent. Yeah. Things are always changing, and sometimes it's good change, sometimes it's change that you're struggling with, sometimes it's things, you know, that you might not know. Like, you never know when, like, the last time you're going to hang out with someone is, or the last time you're going to see someone, or, you know, one day you might go to your job, and that's the last day at your job, and you don't know it. But, like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know, like...
Well, and, yeah, I mean, like, again, like, I just... accepting the reality that like not everything is going to be great all the time, and then when things do go wrong, whether you were the reason that it went wrong or it just could be like circumstance, mm-hmm. I still think it's our choice to react. Like, you know, there's a lot of sayings and things about like it might not be your choice, but it's always your choice to react and to move forward from that. And so I think that's the core of it, like, is that I always like making the joke, it's kind of like a pokey fun, it's a mean thing to say, but it's lighthearted and saying like, you're not special. Like,
yeah.
Like, you're not special though, because like there's people who lose parents all the time. There's people who lose significant others, who lose their jobs, who lose their pets, who lose mm-hmm. their homes. You know, there's people who deal with it all the time. You're not special in that, but you can be special in being the person that handles it in a positive light and then uses that
mm-hmm.
as like fuel and motivation for your future endeavors.
Exactly. It's like when people aren't happy with things, then they just want to tell you how unhappy they are about something. And then you're like, okay, well, you could do this or you could do that. And then there's like there's a reason, there's always an excuse of why they can't do it. And so then I'm like, okay, then you just want it to be that way.
Yeah.
And then people are like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, you could do this, this, or this, but you apparently have reasons why you can't. So I guess it just has to be this way.
Right.
And people are always like, well, you're kind of a dick because, you know, like, I don't know. Like
that's you know, going back to that statement, the empathy for excuses does not equate to victory. Like, again, like, even in those moments, that's the reason I made that is because it's a harsh truth. And like you said at the beginning of this, like, it's not fun to hear necessarily, but I think it's like, nobody can, if you view it from a third party, like, you're like, yeah, like, that sounds great. But when it's you that hears it, or when it's you in the situation,
right,
that's when it's much harder. But, you know, again, like, somebody could be like, man, like, I keep getting fired from, like, every job. Like, I don't get it. Like, they don't appreciate me for who I am. And you're like, well, this is a scenario, like, that maybe it's your behavior as a person, like, whatever. And like, well, they don't get me. Like, this is just the way that I have to work. Like, you know, like, they don't realize it. Like, you know, I'm just dealing with, like, the loss of my thing. Or, like, I'm, I'm not that way. And you're like, that's fine. Like, totally. You can think that that's a valid reason. That's a valid excuse of not cooperating with your employees or with your employers, but that's still not going to equate to you keeping a job or moving up in a company. And so that's where, again, even for me, like, in those scenarios where somebody comes to me and looks for empathy and I offer them solutions and they're like, well, no, like, you don't get it. Like, I can't do that. I'm like, okay, then don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to sit here and promise you that good things are going to come from that. You might feel in those moments that people are comforting you for your excuses of why things aren't going the way that you want them to, but that's still not going to make your life go better. It's only going to fix it in that moment. It's only going to feel good for that brief period of time. And even worse, it creates a very unhealthy dependency on other people's input for you to feel self-worth and value in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of creating that value by overcoming and succeeding.
Right.
And like, that's, again, like, I think, you know, we talked about this before we even started this. I was like, you know, I'm hesitant to speak on these things just because it is hard for a lot of people to hear them. But for those people that are seeking that little bit of growth or whatever, I think that it's a good thing that they might not recognize. Like, mm-hmm. I even, because I'm consciously aware of it, you know, when I deal with something, that's in my head. And even when I reach out to somebody, I'm like, this is something I'm struggling with. I don't want your empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Help me think through how to get through this.
Yes, exactly.
Because there's always people that think that that's what you're looking for because it's so common. Like, if I was like, Steph, like, I don't know, dude, I got a flat tire on the way here. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, I don't care. Like, I just, can we get my car to the shop? Or like, do you have a tire iron we can take this off with, you know?
Yeah. I'm really bad with empathy.
Yeah, I think we both are.
Yeah, I think that's part. And this is what confuses me, right? Is like, people ask me for advice or people come to me for stuff, but then they get like upset when I'm not empathetic. And I'm like, but you know that I'm not like an empathetic person. Like, you know that when you come to me, I'm not going to be like, oh, they're there. I'm going to be like, okay, well, that sucks. What are we going to do about it? Like,
yeah. And I mean, like, I've found power in like, in recognizing that fact and then being able to like swing both sides of it. Right. So it's like, ah, oh, like, no, I get that. Like, I went through that. It was like, kind of, it sucked. But like, I'm really excited because like, I figured out that this is what happened. And like, this is how I got to handle it.
I need to get on that level.
Well, I mean, you still won't win people with that. Right. Because that's a thing. Another trick though, that I've seen, it was like Facebook memes or something. So, you know, judge me all you want for that. But, it was in conversations like that. You could start with just, do you want comfort or do you want solutions?
Yeah.
And then if they say, I want comfort, then you go find somebody else.
Exactly. Like, okay, then you dialed the wrong number.
Yeah. Oh. But no, I feel that. And I think that the reason that I think that we are empathetic. You know what I mean? I don't think that we're
to
heartless.
To a point, right? Like,
but I don't think, I think that because we recognize how powerful solutions are over empathy, that we like, we do minimize it because we're not people like, I don't want empathy because I know it's useless. Like, it's like,
yeah, it's like an almost like an ego booster or like a band-aid for a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, though, is so I can be empathetic to like new problems.
Yeah.
When I start to see patterns and I start to see
right.
the same problem over and over again, and it's still there, we haven't done anything about it. Like, I'm really bad with that. Like, I'm really impatient.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, and I think that, again,
like, we're not perfect. Like, we're saying this stuff, like, we know how to deal with stuff, but it also has, like, can have, like, a little bit of a negative side.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, for me, I think that my form of empathy comes in, like, if you're, like, you know, if somebody's, like, man, like, I just, like, I thought I fixed this problem with my car, and, like, I went out and drove it, and, like, another thing happened, yeah. like, this, whatever, but, like, you know, I want to fix it, but, like, I just, like, I'm kind of out of answers. And if, again, like, if I go into it, I'm like, God, you know, like, that's hard. Like, I feel sorry for you, but, like, you know, like, have you tried this? I'm like, oh, no, thanks. Like, I think it's totally in the response and in like, that mentality of, like, it doesn't hurt to show somebody a little bit of validation for their struggles.
Yeah.
But then, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, oh, that, man, you're dumb. Like, that's an easy problem to solve.
Right.
Like, I get it that it sucks. Like, I'm not going to take that away from you. But if you're not looking for a solution, then I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah. And I think it's like the, you know, like, you care enough to want to give the solution.
Right. And that's a crazy point. I agree. Like, I'm glad you brought that up because that has been something so hard to deal with, and I'm sure you've dealt with it in your life, and I've dealt with it in mine, where, like, it is somebody that you do care about, and that's, like, you know, if you have friends that are just empathizing with you, and they're not like, listen, get your shit together, mm-hmm. like, this is what you need to do, those are not good friends. Like, yes, man, like, people who are just like, oh, no, you're perfect, like, that guy was a jerk, or, like, oh, no, like, they, mm-hmm. it sucks for your job to lose you, like, they're really missing out. Like, no, like, the best type of friends are like, well, I mean, why did they fire you? Like, mm-hmm. they had to have a reason.
Exactly.
Like, and what's your interpretation of why they fired you? Were you late? Like, were you not performing to the level? And if you get offended by, like, people trying to help you, like, I strongly, strongly suggest people find those friends that aren't afraid to, like, tell them the truth. Now, don't get me wrong. It's hard to find friends that do that, but if you only have friends that coddle your excuses and magnify your issues and tell you that it's okay to have them, then, like, you do need to diversify your friend group.
Yes. Like, I saw something somewhere, I don't know where I saw it, but it was like, even with, like, mental health, right? Like, if you have, like, a mental health thing going on, like, That diagnosis is not an excuse for your behavior. Like, right. Let's say you're, like, bipolar. Just because you're bipolar doesn't mean that you can treat people like shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a thing. Like, people shouldn't coddle things like that. And it doesn't even have to be that severe, right? It doesn't have to be, like, a mental illness. But it can be anything. Like, I'm an asshole sometimes. And if I had people that coddled the fact that I was an asshole sometimes, then that wouldn't be good. Like, I'm, like, checked and got to put back in, like,
yeah, no, like, it's really good to have those friends who keep you in check. And, you know, I've been in many a social environment where they're like, oh, that's just how he is. Like, well, we all have the opportunity to change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how somebody is not an excuse for, like, you know,
it's not the end all be all. It's not just, you know, that's how you are for life. Like, you're constantly changing and moving and, you know, we're like fluid beings, like, constantly
right
evolving.
Well, and that's why when people talk to me about, like, certain things, or, like, you know, when people have that generic relationship thing where, like, people never change, I'm like, well, you could
you could, but it's gonna take a lot of work in some cases, and you know
but no, I mean, and that does go back to the original point of, like, empathy for excuses does not create victory. And it's that same realm where it's like, I am not going to take the validity of a trauma away from somebody. But again, like you said, that is no excuse. No matter what trauma you've gone through in your life, that is no excuse to not try to be the best human being you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Because inevitably, and I'm not saying this for the sake of, like, oh, well, you need to treat me good, because I don't deserve this. No, it's like it's self-destructive, because the people in your life will leave. Mm-hmm. The jobs will stop happening. Like, progress and happiness will cease to exist if people don't make those changes and overcome those traumas. And then you have those people who, because they're target fixated, like, oh, my life is crap because nobody gets me, or like, my life sucks because this happened to me, and like, my life has gone downhill since my parent died, or mm-hmm. since I lost that job, or since my boyfriend left me, or whatever. And it's like, dude, you're target fixating on that. And it is self-fulfilling prophecy that it will suck because you're not doing anything different to change it and to make it better.
Yeah, it's almost like people talk about like manifestation.
Yep.
Like, and if you, and it's so true, like if you notice something or if you think about something enough, you're gonna notice it.
Yep.
Like, I was talking on like another episode of the podcast with Nicole about Miatas. And then, like, literally the next day, I saw, like, 8 Miatas. And I was like, they're everywhere. Like, yeah.
What is it? It's, like, Dunning-Kruger or something? Or, I don't know. but, no, and I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, you know, in these kinds of talks, I've had these with people. But speaking out on a general term, like, these are two people right now talking to a group of people who are listening to this. We don't even know, but we care enough about people in general that these are the hard things that people need to hear. And this is exactly what we're talking about. These are the type of friends that you need that tell you the hard truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fun to hear, but they're the people that you want near you, because they're the ones going to help you dig yourself out of the hole you don't even realize that you're digging for yourself.
That's true.
Like, I get it. Stuff goes wrong. It sucks. I mean, I lost probably my favorite person at a young age, and I had my struggles. I was very self-destructive after my mom left. Left after my mom died.
Yeah, it's always awkward.
Yeah. But like, you know,
it's like our trauma response.
Yeah. In the middle of it though, it was like, well, wait a second, like, things suck because I'm making them suck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, nobody's gonna save me, you know?
Yeah. And that's even like, I was talking to my sister about it, and she was like, you know, When someone dies or whatever, like, right afterwards, everyone's there for you, and then you're alone, and they all go back to their lives. And I was like, but they should, because it's not their burden to, yeah, like, bear. And I'm like, you know, in a way, because, like, I was older than you, like, when my dad died. But yeah. I was 25, like, still a kid, basically. Like, it forces you to really deal with things on your own. And, like, I don't like to burden other people with stuff. And, like, that's... Right. Part of my problem too. Well, on some things, like, yeah, you know, you have to like know how to ask for help, but like sitting there and you just have to sit and you just have to figure it out. And that's kind of how I learned, because I did lose that person that I asked all the questions to. Yeah. Like, I, you have a question, call my daddy, always send the answer.
Right. But like, look at how great this is though. Like, again, with this post-traumatic growth, in that I've recognized, like, you know, I've had people who just like, on impulse, will call their parent. Like, oh, I need help. Fix this for me. And, like, I view it and, like, it's so, like, abrasive to me,
mm-hmm,
because I don't have that. And I'm not saying don't ask other people for help. I think that there's ways to learn how to ask for help, especially because you and I know, I mean, what we're doing right now, it feels good to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is, like, if you're going to ask for help, you come to somebody with, like, hey, I tried this. I thought about this. Like,
yeah,
I like, this is the part where I'm stuck at. Can you help me through this? But you also learn that, like, you know, like you said, you don't like to burden people. This post-traumatic growth has made us be consciously aware that nobody owes us anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even that step is something people don't realize, is that, like, nobody owes you anything. And that's where you get that increased appreciation for your friends. That's exactly where that comes from, is like, well, I'm sorry to bother you. Can, yes, you help me with this thing? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to burden you. And then they're like, oh, no, it's cool. Like, let me help you
don't
with this.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, thank you so much. Like, can I
pay you? Is, yeah, there something, like, I can do for you? Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, I've been in experiences, like, because I've grown from this and learned from it, people are like, man, like, you're really good with other people. Like, they, like everybody knows you. Like, everybody likes you or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, it's because, like, of that awareness, you know what I mean?
That's so interesting that you say that. Okay, because, like, I'm not on your level. Like, I'm not, like, Insta. I don't have, like, all the followers. But, like, I was talking to my friend, and he has a lot of people who, because, like, we grew up in the same circle, but, like, other people that he knows, like, know me, acquaintances or whatever, yeah, like, have heard of me. And he goes, you know why I like you so much? He's like, I have not met a single person that doesn't like you. And I was like, what? I was like, that's not true. Like, yeah. There's got to be someone who's like, no, I mentioned you. He was like, oh, she's so cool. Like, she's so nice. And I was like, that's a weird thought because I am a nice person, but I think of also like the difficult times of myself where like, obviously acquaintances aren't going to know those things. Yeah, like, so when you hear that, you're like, oh, but I must be doing something positive, you know, just like,
I think just that
a decent human.
Like, yeah. That awareness that other people exist and that, like, you know what I mean? Like that, like when you engage with somebody else, I think I don't want to say that, like, I don't want people to get this wrong. It's not the appreciation of mortality, right? Like, it's not like, oh, well, that person could die at any minute.
Life is fragile.
Yeah, no, it's not that at all. It's just that, like, when you go through those traumatic events, and then you come out of it or anything like that, it's kind of just realizing that life has no guarantees.
Yeah.
And so it just allows you to, like, live in those moments a little bit more appreciative. And so that's, again, like, I think the beauty of it is that it gives you so many secondary and even tertiary, like, things that improve with you that you don't even realize.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, me wanting to help other people, like, so much. I love helping other people. And sometimes at my own detriment, but that's okay because it still feels good.
Right.
But that, I mean, when I was younger, it was just like, I'm just running through life, like, get out of my way, you know? And so I feel good. Like, I'm glad that that happened to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I try to just make everything, you know, okay. So think about it this way. You can be addicted to bad things or you can be addicted to good things.
Yeah.
Like, addiction isn't just like alcohol and cocaine and whatever. Like, people can be addicted to working out. People can be addicted. You can literally be addicted to anything.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to have these, like, traits, not like addiction traits, but like the traits where, like, I always need to be busy. I always need to be working on something. Like, I have to be working on something to think about things.
Yeah.
So if I made a conscious decision that whenever I do something, it's going to be something that's positive.
Yeah.
Like, when I moved into this house, I just came from a really bad situation. I painted my sister's whole house. Like,
yeah.
It was driving her nuts. Like, there was one day I was, like, patching walls and shit. And she was like, I just really don't feel like doing that. And I was like, that's fine. Like, I want to do this. She was like, well, you're making me anxious because, like, you're doing something and I'm not. And I'm like, but honestly, like, I need to do this. Like,
yeah.
I can't, I don't know. Like, I just.
But even in this, like, this is what I think is so great is that it has brought so much, like, handling things in a positive manner and, like, trying to dig out the reasons in yourself. And instead of just being like, well, I'm sad and I'm going to be sad. And in resolving these issues, it does bring everything to consciousness. And people will always call me an overthinker and probably you an overthinker, like, all the time. But I think it's like, I don't think there's such thing as overthinking. I think there's things like evaluating those scenarios and, you know, I think there's a lot of power in being aware of the way you do things, the way you handle things,
mm-hmm.
because then you can go, well, it's my choice now to determine if that's a good trait or a bad trait.
Right.
And address it as I may.
Yeah. And something I've definitely learned in, like, I don't know, the last, like, 5 or 6 years is, like, I definitely understand how I function now.
Yeah.
Like in my early 20s, I was kind of, you know, in your early 20s, you're just like, woo, life.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, okay, this happens. And when this happens, I typically do this. But then I feel like after my dad died, it really, like, laid it all out. And I was like, oh, I'm this way because of this. And these are the ways that I deal with things. And I think that it's like, I don't know.
Well, it gives you, like, and with that, like, I'm saying, like, you get so much more self-identity. You know, even when people talk to me, like, it used to be where if people would invite me to do something, like, I was like, well, I don't think I really want to do that. Like, but I will.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm just afraid of losing them as friends. Like, maybe I have to do that thing or whatever.
Right.
And, like, as I got older, it was like, if somebody invited me right now, like, you want to go to the beach and play volleyball? I'd be like, absolutely not. I don't. No. And I know that about me.
Right.
Like, and that's nothing wrong with me. It's just something that I don't want to do. Like,
mm-hmm.
you want to go for a motorcycle ride in the mountains? Yes. Do you want to work on cars? Absolutely.
Right.
Do you want to go see Hamlet the play? Nope.
Exactly.
Like, and I think that there's beauty in that, right?
Yeah.
And then it's your choice to again, if somebody, again, it's my choice to say, if someone's like, do you want to go to the beach and play volleyball? I can evaluate in myself, like, well, it's not something that I would normally do. It's not something I like, but do I want to experience something new right now? Like, is that what I feel I need? And again, it's just my choice. It's not, there's not that other.
There's not the pressure behind it.
Yeah.
Where you feel like you might lose someone because of something.
Right.
I think that's a really interesting way to think about that, because I can be kind of pretty terrible if I don't want to do something. And like a bunch of people are doing it, I'm like, I don't want to do that. But then I, you know, it's rare that I go, but maybe I should go sometime. I don't know.
Well, and I mean, and here's the thing. It's so great. It's a full circle. And like, basically like that little thing is like in another bubble, in another bubble, in another bubble, in another bubble called life. Like that exact experience, right? Like, oh, maybe I should go, I don't know, to dinner with all my friends to celebrate this person's birthday. I don't really know them, but maybe.
Right.
And then you go there and it's terrible. And you're like, okay, well, I just know that's not a social environment that I like to
exactly.
be in.
Exactly.
And that shouldn't be a bad thing. Like, some people might take that as an extremely traumatizing thing. Like, I just went and I had the worst time. Like, I don't know. Like, I think I have social anxiety. I'd never want to be around people. Like, no. That's one scenario. That's one tiny environment, and it's great that you experience that because it helps you define you. Self-identity is so important, and I think like that it again, it's analogous across life. Like, oh well, what if that's not the right job for me? I don't know where to work. I don't know. When people talk about going to college, like, oh, I don't know if that's what I want to do with my life. Okay, try it.
Right.
Nothing's locking you in there, and you'll learn from it.
Exactly. Or even like feeling the pressure to follow societal norms. This is a huge thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't feel it.
Well, and I mean, if we were to relate on, like, you know, other things, like, that's, I agree. And again, I think part of that, self-identity, creating your own self-identity and being confident in it comes from overcoming things and, again, making decisions and moving forward with them. And that's part of it. Because when people talk to me about getting married or having kids, and they're like, well, do you want kids? I'm like, no, I don't. I'm like, well, whatever. And like, there, I know there's people who have doubted themselves, like, well, maybe I should want kids. Or maybe even worse, they'll have a kid and not be sure.
And then they'll figure out that they don't want kids. Yeah.
But like, for me, I'm like, yeah, like your pressure on me doesn't change the fact that I don't. I just don't. Like, you know, I have my reasons. I don't feel like I need to tell you them, but.
Right.
But no, I am a firm believer in self-confidence, and self-confidence only comes from experience and, you know, being proud of yourself for overcoming something.
Exactly. And, you know, other people's, this is another thing that's like huge for me. Like other people's emotions about your actions are not yours to bear.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's a really blanket term, I guess. But like, if it's something that you're doing for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't be shitty to someone and then be like, well, they've, you know, your actions are directly affecting them. But like, when you moved across the country, you probably had people that didn't want you to leave or maybe gave you some shit for leaving.
Well, like, I purposely kept it to myself until 4 weeks before I moved. And I didn't ask anybody if they thought it was a good idea. I just said, I put my 2 weeks into my job. I'm selling all my stuff that I can. And in 4 weeks, I will be moving to California.
Yeah.
And even then, it was just like, well, why? But, like, what do you do? Like, aren't you scared that you're going to leave your family or whatever? I'm like, no, not at all. And I mean, I know that circumstances like that would affect other people a lot more. And yeah, no, there was people, and thank God I didn't let it affect me, because everything that's happened since then has been so fulfilling, so rewarding to do my own thing and to do what I believe in and to do something that I think is the right thing for me. And I mean, even just 2 months ago, I had a pretty sweet gig and I didn't have any other job lined up. I just have my business, which is doing pretty good, but like, it's not like as comfortable as having a job and the business, but I just was like, you know what, this doesn't feel good. So I'm not going to do it anymore. And even then people are like, aren't you worried about money? Like, what are you going to do? Are you
going to
get
your backup plan?
What are you going to get another job? And I'm like, no, I don't really want to.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, that again, like, it does go full circle. I don't think that trauma introduces that. I think it's having the mentality of like, man, it feels so good to be the one driving my life. mm-hmm. and to not let anybody else take the wheel. I'll gladly ask for directions if I feel like I'm lost. I will ask for help if my car breaks down. I will ask for somebody to sit in the passenger seat if I want company. But if they start bugging me, I'm going to drop them off at the next stop. If somebody is fixing my wheel, but their stipulation is that I have to take them to the next stop and I don't want to, then they're not helping me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, navigating in that way has been so good because it hasn't caused me to, like, feel those doubts and feel that, like, burden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I owe somebody this or whatever. So it's not necessarily related to post-traumatic growth, but it is just the mentality that I have control of it, which is what post-traumatic growth essentially is.
Yeah. I think that it just makes us more independent. I think that too, like, if you, so for me, like, a lot of times people, like, my sister always says, like, you don't think shit through, you just do shit. That's true to an extent. Like, if it's something small that other people might think a lot about, like paint colors on a wall or like buying a car, even, like, that's not a huge thing to me.
Yeah.
Like, if it's situations like that, no, I don't feel the need to spend a whole lot of time pondering. Yeah. If I look at something and I like it, that's what I like.
I think that's, like, actually backwards though, because I think that you do think about it. It's just the thought that you have is like, well, this isn't a life-changing decision. Even if I went out and leased a 2020 G-Wagon for mm-hmm. like $250,000 a year, that's a big financial burden or whatever.
Right.
But if I don't like it, I can get out of the lease. Yeah, I'm sure there's a fee for it.
Exactly.
And if you paint the wall brown and you're like, ooh, that's gross, you can paint over it.
Exactly.
And so that's what you think about.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess I just do it quickly. Like, I'm very decisive. And a lot of times being decisive is misconstrued for not thinking things through.
Exactly.
And
that's really interesting. Because it goes back to your thing. I don't want to do this too long.
No, it's all good. I just want to make sure it doesn't shut off.
That's fine. So I love that. And it's a completely different topic. But not giving into peer pressure and those kinds of things. Like, oh man, that's so good. Like, are you sure? Like, I mean, I have pink and green wheels on my motorcycle and my car. You know that that would never happen if I listened to my peers.
Oh, exactly. I have steelies on my car and people give me shit about it like every day.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? It came with it. I don't care.
Yeah. But I love, and that, like, realizing that, like, if I do what makes me happy, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And even, like, getting that reaction, I'm like, it tells me more about the other person than it does about me at all.
I was going to say, sometimes it, like, weeds out people.
Yeah, no, I'm why does it even matter to you? Like, are you that, like, are you insecure on that?
Like, right. Or, like, a guy, like, I've run into guys that are like, oh, you ride motorcycles? Like, I could never date you because you ride motorcycles. And I'm like, you're going to be upset because I don't want to sit on the back of your motorcycle? Yeah. Like, what are you afraid of?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's bizarre, but you know, it just weeds people out, and it is the way that it is. And if there's, like, literally one thing that my family is like, well, you make a decision and then you do it, and that could be put in a good tone or a bad tone.
Well, yeah, and I think there, right, like, is, I think that, like, it's hard because to me, I don't get offended by that, but I get a little off put because I'm like, well, like, are you offended that I didn't ask for your input on this? Or like, is it just that you don't agree and you're trying to make me feel bad to, like, bring me down to your level of self-confidence? Right. And I'm not saying that about your family, just in general. Like, you know, people are like, oh, like, pink wheels, that's pretty cool. I'm like, yeah, like, you don't have to like it.
Right. It's not yours.
Like, and if that tells you something about me that you think is true, like, that's totally okay.
Yeah.
That does not change my view of myself.
Having the confidence to be who you are with the choices that you make is a, like, it's not around enough.
Oh, yeah. No, and, like, I mean, I don't know if trauma has led to that in me, but I don't think it did, because at a young age, I was even the same way, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was, like, part of my journey in general was, like, when I was younger, I had long hair, skater boy, flippy hair. My dad would give me crap about my hair all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what damage does my hair do to you?
Yes.
At all. Like, at all. And so, like, I would always joke back with him and be like, yeah, no, like, glad it's not on your head because then, you know,
yeah,
it doesn't bother you.
My mom, so when I showed my mom my, like, first couple tattoos, it was, like, this one under my arm, and it's pretty small. Like, it's small compared to, like, the rest of the shit I have now. But, like, she did not talk to me for 6 months. 6 months I had to move out of the house. It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, and she always says, and this is, like, manipulative, well, I never told you you had to move out. I'm like, but you ignored my existence for, like, 6 months. But, like, that's a whole other thing. But, like, if I would be concerned about what she thought about my body and me having tattoos, like, that's not her choice.
Right.
It's not your body. It's my body. And she's always like, well, I like tattoos, just, like, not on my children. I'm like, well, that's unfortunate because we're kind of...
And I mean, I think that, like, that, well, I guess, you know, that does play into this because in more extreme cases, that external approval has caused people trauma, you know? Like, I've talked to many people who are like, just like, I feel like my parents never loved me. Like, they never approved of anything I did. Like, they were always telling me I needed to do better. And I'm like, man, like, that is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But that should be even more encouraging of you to be self-confident and to find fulfillment and pride in what you do rather than going in this rabbit hole of now you're so hyper-critical of yourself and so focused on getting external input to validate your decisions. Like, trust me, that's been a lot of things with people that I've had discussions with is like, yo, like, people ask me what car to buy. And I'm like, I think like a Camry or a Accord. If you're a basic person and you don't care about cars, like, yeah, easy win.
There's a reliable option.
But then, you know, like, they're like, oh, well, I thought, I was like thinking about like getting a Mercedes. And I'm like, dude, you can do whatever you want. Like, well, no, but like, I'm like, dude, like, be confident in your decision.
Yeah, like, get, if you like that car, like, then get that car.
Yeah.
Like, if there are people, okay, if you, my one friend, she really wanted these, like, $600 designer shoes, and they're fucking ugly. They look dirty, like, but they're supposed to look dirty.
Yeah.
And she's, like, asking us all what we think about them. I'm like, those look dirty. I was like, I have, like, lawn mowing shoes that look like those shoes. And I was like, but if you like them and you want to spend like $600 or $700 on those shoes, then you should get them.
Yeah.
And then she did end up getting them, but now she's like self-conscious when she wears them. She's like, well, you guys don't like my shoes. I'm like, well, what does it make? Like, what difference does it make?
We don't have to
you
wear them.
You asked me for my opinion. If you didn't ask me for my opinion, I just would have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Buy the shoes. Like, it's not my money.
Right. And I, like, that's again, like, I mean, those kinds of things. Again, if you're a person who has like had something more severe or even just because of the frequency of it, like people not approving your decisions and you feel like you're traumatized by it and now you don't trust people, that's the wrong lesson to learn from it. The lesson to learn from it is like, if you're so confident and you're like set in something, then do it. Even if you're not like 1000% sure, even if you're like, well, I just like, I think that'd be a good thing. Like, run through it. Like, mm-hmm. And learn the lessons from it. Because you're going to learn that lesson of like, oh, well, maybe it wasn't a good idea. And and that, again, like I was saying, this is like a circle and a circle and a circle, is that experience shouldn't traumatize you either. Like, mm-mm. Like making a decision and then having it not go your way shouldn't be traumatic.
Listen, I've made some stupid decisions.
Oh, yeah.
And I've gotten myself into some interesting situations. But you know what? Like, I get myself out of them. And in some of them, I've been lucky to have people that were there for me to get me out of those situations.
Yep.
Because otherwise, I just would have had to, like, wait it out or figure out another way or, like, fuck a bunch of shit up. But either way, like, the reason that I made the decisions that I made is because I made them with confidence at the time.
Yep.
I did what I had with the knowledge that I had at the time.
Yeah, and the only way you're ever going to learn more is by doing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, I mean, I think it's...
And you always learn something. You're like, this is what I... And even when something doesn't work out, you're like, listen, this is what I like and this is what I don't like. And it helps to make you more decisive.
Yep. Well, and I always think that's so interesting. Like, if we... I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of dating.
Mm.
But I do love when, you know, in previous dating experiences, when women have been like, well, I'm only looking for somebody that's marriage material. And I'm like, how do you know? How will you know?
That's a whole nother question.
Well, like, you have to, like, you're the first person you date, it's rarely that they're going to be the perfect person for you.
That's true.
And if you only ate chocolate chip cookies, how would you know that there's not a better food that you like? How would you know that there's not other things? You have to try things. I'm not saying go out and just date everybody. I'm not saying go out and just, like, rally your life like crazy. But the core of this is that life experiences is how you learn and mm-hmm. better define yourself and gain self-confidence. And that was a point I made earlier, that people always have it backwards. They're like, well, I'm not confident that I can do this thing, so I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. When the irony is that self-confidence is only going to come from doing the thing.
Exactly. That's even like with working out, right? This is a perfect example for me, because before I started like working out basically in January, like I dabbled in the gym, but like I would just go running because it's easy.
Yeah.
Like I know I can run. It's fine. So I started going to the gym and I had to figure out different things that worked for me. And in the beginning, I would just talk about going to the gym, because I didn't want to show anybody what I was doing in the gym, because I didn't know if what I was doing was right.
Yeah.
So, but then I learned, and I'm learning now, and I'm still figuring it out. And now I'm like, okay, well, shit, maybe this will motivate someone. I'll post a video of like my friggin' hip thrusters. And then my one super cool bodybuilder friend who's like amazingly fit, she'll be like, hey, great video, you're doing a good job, but you know, put your legs more at a 90 degree angle and you'll get a deeper thrust. And I'm like, okay. So then I try that. And so it's like, I'm helping other people out, but then also I'm using like tapping into the people that I know that actually like are amazing at what they do.
Yeah.
And they can give me advice.
Well, I've always loved when people said that, like going to the gym, like, well, I'm just embarrassed. I'm gonna look stupid. Like, yo, there's like 75% of the people here that are in the exact same boat as you are.
Yes.
And that's where I always lean on my saying. I'm like, you're not special. Like,
no.
Nobody's paying attention to you. Like,
no. And it's great, 'cause like at the gym that I go to, it's like specifically like, everyone's just doing their best. Like, yeah. I don't go to like a bougie gym where it's like girls look like they had like plastic surgery, but they're just kind of like trotting on the treadmill.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm there with like the dad that got off work that's like attempting to run on the treadmill and yep. like all this stuff. And
but that's life. That's what I'm saying. I love it. Like, that is life. Like, every time you feel like, oh, I'm gonna be embarrassed if I'm not good at this, or like, I love little quotes because they would help me, and I think they will help other people. But there's a show called Adventure Time. It's a little kids show from a long time ago, and I love it. But there's a quote from it, and basically one of the characters says something like, what if I'm bad at it? And then Jake the dog says, sucking at something is the first step towards being sort of good at something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that is life. Like, embrace that feeling. Like, I've gotten so good at it to where like now when I'm like doing something and I'm terrible at it, I'm like, oh, this means I'm learning.
Yeah,
I am so pumped. Like,
even when I started running again, like, so when I got my car accident in 2017, I broke my leg. I had not run since.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, running kind of not your thing anymore, and I was like, cool. But now, you know, I can do it. But when I first started, it was like starting over.
Yeah.
And it was January, and it was cold, oh, yeah. and it was like awful. But now I'm running and I'm like, oh, I can run farther. Like,
yeah.
I can, you know, it's like 97% humidity outside and I'm dying, but I'm still doing this. Yeah. Like, it's a great feeling, especially like instant gratification is good to an extent, but when you've been like working towards something and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, that's that's what I'm saying. Self fulfillment, like self appreciation, recognizing your own overcoming of obstacles will never be replaced by other people's input.
Yeah.
Like, of course it's nice to have other people like say things, but at that point, like, I've reached a point where like people are like, oh, that's really cool. I'm like, yeah, I mean, or I mean, it's all yeah. right, but like,
I'm so bad at receiving compliments.
Oh, same. Yeah. But I think like that's it's like not as like, you can't be like, no, shut up. But like,
and I don't do that. I just like, I just don't know what to do. Yeah. It's like in Talladega Nights where he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, that's me in every compliment. I'm like, okay.
But that's like, I think it's a good sign, because it's somebody who is truly considering their own journey rather than only navigating their life based on external input. And, you know, again, like, I've had people who are like, changed, like, I've had roommates, I've had significant others, I've had friends that like will either like mimic my life or come to me way too much with questions about what they should do, and I'm like, dude, do what you want.
Figure it out.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't want you to do what I, like, what you just think is going to be what makes me happy, because I'm never going to give you what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And if, and I'm so bad, like, I'm a jerk, but if I sense that, I'll do the opposite. Like, I'll, like, somebody's like, what do you think about my outfit? I'm like, it's clothes. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, you know what I mean? But yeah. I'll still clarify with them, like, the only reason I'm doing this to you is because I think you need to love it yourself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like you do. So please find that. And, like, if you're like, dude, I look super good, I'll be like, I mean, I guess, yeah, like, you're killing it, dude. Like,
right.
I dig it. But, no, I, and even though we've strayed a little bit from post-traumatic growth, I think it's still
good.
Similar to, it's the same idea. Like, you got to find that fulfillment in yourself. You're in control more than you think mm-hmm. you are. And you set your destiny.
I think that it's important because a lot of people, and this is like in culture right now, which is obnoxious, but like depression culture. And it's like cool to be depressed almost.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's good to talk about. It's good to talk if you're depressed. It's good to go get help. That's the most important thing.
Definitely.
But like, it's also good to talk about the other side of it. Like, yeah, people get depressed or people go through hardships, but like, it doesn't all have to suck.
No, when that, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, the conversation shouldn't be validating your sadness. It should be like celebrating the overcoming of those hardships. I mm-hmm. think that like life should be talked about. Like, I think, like, I mean, I just made a post yesterday talking about like dealing with difficult situations with other people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes with like a positive message for me when I do feel those adversities and I overcome them. It like does help me lock into me more.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I agree. Like, I think I don't, you know, there's that double-edged sword. Yes, people are being more vocal about being sad about things. And I think that in current social climates, it's somewhat understandable. But it should be with, how do we navigate through this?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get out of it? Not, oh, well, like, validate everybody in their sadness. Like, no. Like,
right.
We all sad.
Right.
We all out here struggling. But we can all make it through. And that's what life is. It's just overcoming that, those hardships.
I love that. For sure. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah. Thanks.
I appreciate it. We're going to have you on again when Nicole is available to speak as well.
Yeah.
We can talk about, there's so many things we can talk about.
You'll have to cut me off every time because I will talk way too much about this stuff.
It's just good though. It's good to be passionate about something.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that's honestly, like, I use my experiences to show other people that they can do it too.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's all I've ever tried to do is be like, look, I put my pants on backwards and then have to put them back on forwards the same way you do.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I use my platform sometimes. Like, I try to motivate people, but this is something that I feel passionately about. Like, I talk to you about it like all the time.
Yeah.
But other than like my hatred for MLMs, I don't really preach much, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I'm happy to do this, and I want to do it again for sure. I'll, you know, anytime. I've always got many topics in my list of things.
Yes. To talk about. Maybe you should start your own podcast.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Another thing.
Right.
You're like, yes, I will. No.
Anxiety increases, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for being on the show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, yes.
So I really hope that you guys enjoyed listening to this episode. In the interim of when we recorded this episode about a month ago and now, Scott and I actually did end up starting a podcast with his cousin Caleb, and it's called YCYP, or You Choose Your Path. This episode, listening back to it, is a lot of what we talk about on our show, and we go even deeper on different topics, and we kind of have the three of us to bounce each other's ideas off of. So if you like this episode, you can find our podcast. It's on all platforms, Google, Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, You Choose Your Path, or YCYP. And obviously right now you're listening to the Heavily Meditated podcast. So follow us on Instagram at heavily_meditated_podcast. And yeah, I really hope you guys enjoyed this. And like I said, if you want more, you can head over and listen to our new podcast, which is YCYP. Thanks.